Hello, gardeners. Welcome back to Garden Planet. You're with Karen and Selena.
Good afternoon, gardeners.
We hope everyone's doing well. We're right in the middle of winter now. Selena's been battling the flu, so yeah. But anyway, one way to get on with life is to get into the garden.
And that's what I've been doing, Karen.
Oh, brilliant. In between all the sleeping and coughing.
Well, no more coughing because I recovered.
Oh, fabulous.
It was good. And I got out in the fresh air and it just did me so much good.
So did you get any pruning done?
That's my next job to do, Karen.
Okay, because the only reason I ask is that's actually today's topic, Selena.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, as prior discussed.
Right, okay. So winter pruning. Now, we need some tools for this. So,
obviously, secateurs.
Secateurs.
And what do you call the little hand secateurs?
Well, just the secateurs small,
Oh, okay. Well, what are the cloppers?
Oh, loppers. Loppers.
I actually use a handsaw. I don't know if that's
pruning
proper
saw.
Pruning etiquette. Is it? Is there such a thing?
Yep, pruning saw.
I'm told off by my fiancé every time I use it because it's I just use the one down in the garage that we use on the wood. Don't bloody use it on the trees.
Anyway,
it works well.
There's special pruning saws you can buy, like they've got a sort of a curved blade.
Oh, yes, yes, I've seen
So
those.
Not like you're chopping up a 2x4, but...
Yeah, do they have a similar sort of serration though?
Or? Yeah, they're like jagged tooth.
Yeah, but quite, because the one I use is a finish sort of serration. Is that a word?
Yeah,
yeah. But I have seen those ones that are quite large, but I think they're for other things.
Mm. I wouldn't recommend chainsaws.
Okay.
For pruning, that's more like for killing trees, but that's another tool that, you know, arborists use.
Yeah, but you could, a little chainsaw you could use to, is there any specific reason why you wouldn't?
Health and safety reasons.
Yeah.
Be a bit more careful.
All right, okay.
Okay,
hold fire on the chainsawing then. I've ever done that. All right, cool. So, yeah, the main thing is something with a good saw edge, guys. That's what you need. Anything else that you can think of? And secateurs?
Well, you need to keep them sharp. So a good, what do you call it?
I just use...
Sharpening blade.
Yeah, I just use the little thing in the kitchen drawer.
Sharpening stone.
Thing, yeah. You hold on to it, it's got a handle and it's like a rod and you just...
Or a file, yep.
So, yeah, so those work well, definitely.
Yeah, to keep your tools sharp. Sometimes you can take them into... Or some gardening clubs actually sharpen your tools for you, so you can take them in to be sharpened.
Yep.
So the thing with pruning is you don't want to have a blunt tool because it could wreck your plants, like it will make things worse.
Mm. And the other thing is also to keep your tools all clean so there's no cross-contamination between plants. So you can use like methylated spirits, you use that to clean them? Or
You can use oily rag to just
give them a wipe
down. Yeah. And it will keep them in working order, so...
Yeah. Okay. Oh, and the other thing is, talking of oils, that is something that is recommended to put on the cut of the plant to give it that protection coverage.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Like, you know, when you cut yourself and you can put cream on it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So you can use anything from, I don't know if you'd want to use a car oil. Okay, but I don't know. But I know people that use paint.
Okay.
They'll paint the wound.
Right.
And on that topic, I've mentioned gardening consultant and writer Dee Pignagy. I think that's how she says her name. She's a New Zealander, and I went to one of her workshops.
Mm-hmm.
She actually recommends mixing clay with cow manure as a protective coating.
I've heard that. Really good.
Mm. I wonder if you could just use clay, like from your soil, that's in your soil, and just slap that on.
As long as your soil isn't contaminated, I guess, it should be fine.
As long as it's got beeswax.
It's just like a protective cover, really.
So that's another thing as well you need in your kit.
Okay, so get your kit together, get your tools sharpened, And when you go pruning, make sure it's not a wet day.
Oh, yes, I read that too. Yeah, it was suggested prune on a mild, dry day. Mm. Is that because the wetness might...
Well, the fungus might grow and
affect the growth of bugs and stuff.
So
yeah, keep the wounds nice and dry.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, guys, we're talking about winter pruning here, by the way. Don't know if we mentioned that. There's actually, I've just discovered, two times of the year you can prune, winter and summer,
mm-hmm.
which Ellen mentioned.
That's right.
Yeah. So you want to prune at the end of winter or even very early spring, but the key thing is to prune before any new growth starts.
Mm-hmm. One reason for that is the sap's rising. So for some plants, the sap, like, bleeds.
Oh.
So it can be quite messy if you start pruning and then all that.
Oh, so you get more sap, like, in the spring, summer.
Yeah,
up.
Because it's, you know, pushing up through the stems. So when it's dormant, yeah. it's a good time to prune because then it's not, you're not harming the plant. They can easily just recover.
Okay. Another reason, good reason to prune at this time of the year is it's a lot easier because if you're dealing with trees that are deciduous, to shape them.
Yes.
You can see the shape of the tree a lot easier at that time as well. You're not sort of rummaging through all the leaves and get an idea of, you know, what
yep.
the tree's going to look like come spring, summer.
Excellent. So pruning for shape and, yeah, for structure.
Mm-hmm.
You can prune away the lower branches if they're getting in the way of your undergrowth or you need to garden underneath your trees.
Yeah.
That's a good way to keep them all nice and shapely.
Mm. Yeah.
And
I just want one last thing on why we do it at this time. Sorry, Selena. Is it also promotes fast regrowth in the spring if you want like a good yield.
Yep.
It's just something I read there. Anyway, yeah.
Sort of rule of thumb of pruning is 3 Ds. Do you know about the 3 Ds?
No. Ooh, sounds interesting.
So 3 Ds are to prune away the dead, diseased and damaged branches.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So anything that's dry and got no life in it,
yeah,
just cut away because you don't need it.
Yeah.
Anything that's looking like it's got disease on it, so like insects biting it or borers
yeah.
chewing it up,
yeah.
get rid of that too.
Okay.
And
damaged.
So dead, dying, disease and damage. So any branches that are kind of...
Noticeably hanging.
Cracking off and ripping off.
Unusual angle.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? Like, I look at my... I don't have many trees on my property, but some are... Like, I've pruned my pear tree.
Mm-hmm.
Still waiting for the leaves to come off the apple tree. Don't know what's happening
I'm
here.
I'm still waiting too.
What is with that? Strangest winter ever.
Yeah.
But... you'd be pruning and then all of a sudden you say, my goodness, what happened there? I wonder if it's cats or whatever. It's like the whole branch sort of is hanging.
Maybe.
I definitely wasn't a child because, well, we all know children don't really play outside anymore. So
maybe a really heavy bird, Karen.
Maybe a kittadoo. Who knows? But it is interesting, isn't it?
Okay.
So, yeah, and the other thing is remove any grafted root stocks. Now, if any of those listeners who aren't sure what that means. Selena, what do you want to explain to the...
So some plants, especially fruit trees, are grafted, which means they have a different root stock to their fruiting above the ground and below the ground.
Yeah.
Because the root stock, it might not grow... Oh, it might be a very vigorous, hardy root stock, but the natural plant that grows from it is not very good tasting fruit, so they just graft the nice tasting
yeah.
fruit on.
So they take the
fruit.
Elements from two different trees
yeah.
and then they graft them together.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when I've never had one, but you know, people that have had skin grafts,
exactly.
you basically take something, plonk it on something else,
and it grows,
and hope that they merge together.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. So, same yeah. sort of, yeah, same concept. And sometimes what can happen in orchards is that the graft can start shooting off the second one on its own.
It might want to take over.
Yeah. So, it's recommended if they're not cut off and removed, they can potentially overtake the growth of the graft. So, you cut those, and they're found at the bottom of a tree.
It'll be below the graft, below the graft bud.
Yeah.
You can kind of see where it's grafted. There might be a little join that you can see.
And just remove any sort of overgrown and smaller branches. That's where the smaller secateur, the hand secateurs, come in super handy. To increase the light and air. And this is a word I learnt at the crown of the tree. Now, if anyone in this room has had a baby, I'll put my hand up. When a baby crowns, that means that the head's showing.
Right.
Anyway, the crown of a tree is like the head of the tree. So you've got the... I discovered this on Wikipedia. So they're saying like you want as much... Right, so you don't have all this... You keep it in the shape of a nice sort of...
Head
shape.
I guess.
Yeah. Sort of outward rather than straight upward and, is the shape you're going for.
Did you mention... growing inwards, but also crossing branches that are sort of going against each other and rubbing each other.
Oh, okay.
Cut those away too.
Yes.
So one of the other tips I've learned is, especially for fruit trees, is you want to have enough room between the branches so that birds can fly through.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And because birds will pollinate your trees, the flowers that... Yeah, it's handy for them to be able to fly for it so they can just rest on the branches, move around, chat to their friends, because they can't really get into a really thick tree or shrub.
Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb, isn't it? Another interesting thing, but this is probably more for any... I'm not actually sure how far Garden Planner is it. I guess anyone in New Zealand can... listen, because it's online. Okay, cool. For those people, listeners living sort of in areas where it's like you get a lot of, sub-zero temperatures.
Yeah.
The reason why I mentioned earlier that it's recommended to prune at the end of the winter or very early spring, basically before they start budding, is if it said never prune too early was something I discovered, as the incisions can dry out if the temperature drops below freezing. I don't know what the huge issue is. I don't know, maybe it's just like frostbite type thing on a tree.
Oh, okay.
You know? And that was something that I came across, and that's actually another reason why to do it not right bang in the... I mean, you can get away... I've been pruning because we don't get that colder temperatures up here in Auckland.
Yeah.
But... might be something worth researching a little further on that. There'll be some science behind it.
Yeah, I know when I was gardening and had to prune lots and lots of roses, people would always say, oh, don't prune them too early. Wait till a really cold comes.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I wonder if... because I'm thinking when I studied this, thinking more trees, not roses and plant, but of course... Well, I wonder if this would apply. I'm thinking, look, this is more orchard pruning I'm looking at.
Right.
So maybe the difference, there's a difference there when it comes to
maybe
shrubs.
But then a lot of people that grow roses tend to grow them in the English style and they're used to English climate.
Yeah. Which is more extreme.
Yeah. They always get winter temperatures really below zero. So, some of these things won't apply when you live in Auckland and you can do things sort of year-round.
Yeah, that's true.
And so you look at these gardening books that say all these things and you're like, but that doesn't work here.
And you know, like if you're living in a really cold area where there's like snow and stuff, and the trees might be like, well, what's left of them?
Yeah.
I'm talking to... do they have evergreen? Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Of course they do. They've got the pine trees and all that.
Last
all. But it'll be like... cutting a like ice block.
Exactly. Too hard.
And that's where the chainsaw comes.
Oh, the chainsaw.
You tear it away from the chainsaw.
Okay. Well, if you're using chainsaw, I just wanna say for health and safety, wear earmuffs and safety glasses.
Oh yeah, always.
And gloves too. Be careful.
I wear gloves like all the time now when I'm gardening no matter what.
Oh really?
Just And I always, I'm very thorough when I'm gardening. I'll always like wash my hands after with like, proper soap.
Yeah.
Because, I never used to be that way. I used to just be pretty haphazard with the old osh. But, and earmuffs are always something I use, even with lawn mowing every time.
Oh, good one.
The other thing is, one last note, listeners, when you are cutting, be sure to cut at the node. You know what the definition of a node is, Selena?
Oh, tell me, Karen.
Oh, I thought you'd never asked. A node can be defined as a connection point between two or more branches. So it's basically the point where it joins.
Yeah.
So it can be like a little twig or a branch. So, yeah, as close as possible.
They say 5 millimetres above the bud or the point where the leaves come out and cut away from the bud so that it... any water, like cut at an angle so that any water doesn't sit in the stem.
Oh, right.
So you can have a 45 degree angle.
Yeah, so it doesn't sit in that little nook there.
Yeah. And okay.
Well, now look who's getting technical there, Slater.
What to do with your prunings? Have you got ideas on what to do with them?
Well, I mean, there's two options. It would be mulching, but I don't have a mulcher.
Mm.
So unfortunately, I just cut them up and burn them. What do you do with yours?
Well, what I did with my feijoa was I cut away all the inner growth and it was getting quite bushy and I just dropped them on the ground underneath the tree and just used it as a mulch.
Okay.
Didn't have to cut them up too much. Because some weeds were growing underneath, so I'm like smothering weeds.
Yeah.
And it'll break down.
Yeah. So I'm thinking more of the bigger branches there, though.
Like the bigger ones. Well, you can use, if you've got long, straight ones, you can use them for, like, making little fences and weave them through, you know, and make just little raised fences.
Okay. Yeah, that could be a good use for them.
Why not?
That sounds very sustainable.
Strip all the leaves off and so then you can weave them through and make little...
You can make yourself a little thatch house out of it,
exactly.
Selena.
mulch them if you've got a mulcher.
Yeah.
Or just...
What about the diseased ones?
Oh, I'd recommend burning the diseased ones.
Yeah.
Especially like roses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And also, they're prickly and horrible.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not fun. Yeah, I definitely, from my own experience dealing with prickly plants, I wouldn't store them away or try and, because I always forget.
Mm.
And then all the leaves, and unless like, maybe other people are more observant than me and not so blasé, but then I guarantee pick up the pile and then end up with like, you know, cut. Blood.
Yeah.
And those thorns really do. They hurt bad. They get in there deep.
My recommendation is
get rid of them.
Don't grow them.
Well, I know, but I've got my lemon tree's got thorns on it.
Oh.
So I can't be cutting that down.
Oh, okay.
It's absolutely gorgeous at the moment.
Right. Just be careful, folks.
But, just think about that. Ask the question as well when you're buying. So the aim is to get an open style, like a vase shape to the tree. We're talking about, well, I guess it depends what, when Dee told me that, depends what vase you're talking about. I'm being difficult, but, okay.
Upside down triangle.
Upside down triangle?
Like.
Crown? Yeah.
Yeah.
Start small at the bottom, work your way out.
Yeah.
Or additionally, if viewed from above, bird's eye view, the tree should resemble the spokes of a wheel.
Good plan.
So, not that I'm going to be flying up there and I don't have a drone, but you know what I mean. Just try and even it out as much as you can, like you're saying, so the birds can pass through, the light can get in, the air can get in. I just think it takes sometimes, people are a bit like, freaked out at, I don't know where to, you know, I think it's better to start than not. Trees, it's actually quite hard to kill a tree from my experience.
Yeah.
Like I, you know, obviously I share my property with people.
Yeah.
Well, my family. And I go, you're being too savage. And sometimes I'm like, oh gosh, I did cut a bit heavily there or got a bit carried away. But 9 out of 10 times, they always seem to bounce back with more growth.
They'll thrive. So think of it as giving them a haircut. Like, you wouldn't just leave them to grow, like, long and straggly. Sometimes it just improves everything and makes it healthier.
You know, like, because I'm thinking of just, like, orchard trees here. Mm. But, I mean, would the same apply to non-fruit trees?
Exactly, yep.
Yeah?
And one of the extreme examples of pruning is bonsai.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you can even have little trees.
Or I was even thinking we might have time to get into espaliering.
Ooh.
Whereas you have to be quite tough sometimes on the plants with that, because that's the deliberate shaping of a, you know, plant down a trellis or a fence or whatever.
Yeah.
I've seen some beautiful ones online where they've got, like, the branches cut so perfectly. So you've got your main trunk and then you've got two out the side and it goes up again, two out the side. So it looks like a little fence. It's amazing.
It's wonderful.
But I don't know if maybe that could be for another time. Yeah. Maybe we should, because that is that's more it's not an essential thing that has to be done at this time. That's, And, well, if you want to shape your tree at this time, that's an option, but,
One more recommendation to do is when you're pruning, start young, because just don't leave them to grow until they get too old and the branches are too fat and you just have a harder job. I think start young and then you can train them the way that you want them to grow.
Yeah, that's right. And also doing so, when I'm talking fruit trees here, if you prune them and look after them, keep them disease-free and all that, but it's all to do with an increased fruit yield and also ease of picking.
Yeah.
You try picking fruit from a tree that hasn't been pruned.
Exactly.
What a nightmare.
No.
So it's all about thinking ahead, guys.
This reminds me of that Bible verse where it says, I'm the vine, you are the branches.
Yeah.
And the branches that don't bear fruit are just cut away.
That's right. The God himself has suggested.
Yeah, he's got some good tips there.
Just before we get into the next segment, did you want to maybe mention about the bending of branches to help them be more horizontal rather than vertical?
Oh, okay. So for fruit trees, they will fruit more if they're horizontal or weighed down because the plant will think, oh, I need to fruit because somehow the sunlight hits the growth hormones at that angle better than if it's going straight up.
Oh, right.
So that's why they do it. So that you can weigh down the branches with, some people use milk bottles filled with water and they just tie them down.
Yeah, be gentle with that, guys, if you want to sort of make your branches more horizontal that way. Just because you don't want to cut into the branches too much. And so stockings are recommended because they're nice and soft and wide.
Yes, they're good.
And if you don't want to have your tree hanging with the milk bottles, I've never done it. Have you done that with your
Done some in the community garden.
Yes, we have. I've never done it on my own trees.
No.
It's never really appealed. But I'm not saying, look, I don't want to be prejudiced against the hanging milk bottles, but I just don't like the look of it.
Okay.
And I don't like them on my lawn either, so that's never happened either. But for the people that are a bit precious like me, the other option is tying them down very gently. So just take your time to curve that branch to where you want it horizontally. Obviously, you don't want a full, unless you're wanting to go fully extreme, but you don't want a full curve down to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do it and then, use stockings or rope, something that's not going to cut into the branches too much, and then you just peg them into the ground. And you can use tent pegs are really good and they're cheap.
Yep.
Or there's these fancy things. I think they're called soil sods or something like that.
Okay.
They're like big staples.
Oh, right.
Is that one?
Pegs?
I wrote it down somewhere. No, got it wrong. Sod staples.
Okay.
So sod meaning
Turf.
Grass. They're like massive steel staples, basically.
Okay, right.
I'm pretty sure we used some at the community garden once.
Okay.
And people use them to hold down like mats and stuff into the ground for ground cover type things. But they're great for that use as well.
Karen, that reminds me of, I had a gardening question. Maybe you might be able to give an answer. I have an arch that was, it was really windy one weekend.
Yeah.
And it sort of, it's this garden arch was made of steel and it's got
Are
a,
you sure it was, you showed me the photo briefly.
Yeah.
It looked like aluminium to me the way it was hanging over.
Aluminium, sort of steel, hollow.
Yeah, yeah. Clearly not strong.
It has a vine growing over it called Hardenbergia or coral pea. Beautiful.
Yeah.
But
yeah, the plant's looking amazing.
The problem was I didn't secure it properly into the ground to start with. Oh. I had like these reinforcing rods inside, but the manufacturer didn't give me any kind of decent instructions on how to put it in.
Right, yeah.
So the next big wind, like the big gale blew it.
Well, I looked closely at that picture you sent me and it looked like it had buckled somewhere, like halfway up the frame.
Yeah.
Maybe, is that what happened or was I not?
One of the screws came loose or it wasn't properly done.
Ah.
And so I asked the manufacturer, oh, can you give me some replacements? And they said, just go to Mitre 10. I'm like, yeah, but I need to know what size special ones to get.
Yeah.
And they didn't answer. So I was really annoyed. My dad tried to bang it in with stakes and tie it up with stockings and things that only helped for a bit, and then the gale nearly blew it down. So I went to Mitre 10 again and got these rebar bars that had like a hook, because I had to cut them for me and bang them right in. But I don't know how long that will last.
So it's upright, though.
Yeah, it's upright.
Well, that's positive, Selena. Okay. So, yep. Okay. Good question.
Yeah.
We'll keep you posted on how the arch is going, guys. We've only got a short amount of time left for the plant of the week, guys.
Plant of the week.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. You'd spend about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale.
So, plant of the week is one that you might not even have to prune. It's a wonderful tree, the kowhai tree.
Ah, yes.
As it's our national flower, and kowhai is the word for yellow in Māori.
Yes, it is.
Its Latin name is Sophora. And it's from the pea family, so it's a legume. And the good thing about legumes is they fix nitrogen in the soil. So it's quite a useful plant. The yellow flowers can be used for a dye.
Yeah.
And the bark can be used for medicinal purposes.
Oh.
But beware that the seed pods and things are poisonous, so you don't want to eat them.
Oh, just the pod?
Yeah, the pods.
I honestly, the kowhai brings back so many childhood memories, Selena. Oh my goodness, we used to have massive one in a paddock next to our driveway on the farm.
Yeah,
and before school, all us kids would meet down at the bottom of the driveway for the school bus.
Yeah,
and we'd fill up jars. That was, I don't know why. But, you know, that's what you do in your kids. It doesn't have to be an explanation. We'd fill up these just jam jars, like maybe five per person, with these little tiny little, well, not tiny, medium-sized yellow kowhai seeds.
Oh.
Just thousands of them just dropping all. But we were fine. We didn't get poisoned or anything, obviously.
No.
So that was interesting.
Okay. So the kowhai plant, when the flowers come out, the Māori say that it's the time to plant kumara.
Oh.
So that's a useful indicator for us.
Yes. Around the time of Matariki.
Exactly. And a good place to plant them is sort of by a river or lake, and they like good drainage. They don't want to be sitting in soil, but sort of like on a bank.
Oh.
And they can sort of, it makes a beautiful picture when they're with their weeping leaves.
Yes, you know, it's a beautiful tree.
Wonderful.
Don't see so many of them. I don't know. Have you seen many around? I don't know. Where's your one in your place?
My garden.
Oh, mustn't be a huge one yet, though.
Not yet.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so that's our plant of the week, and keep an eye out for the kowhai.
Beautiful
tree.
I'm going to have a good look at it next time I'm at your place.
So happy pruning, everyone. Happy gardening.
Get sharpening. Get out there. We know it's cold, but do it on a mild day. You'll be right. Love it.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page, or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.